the word of Christ from the Gospel of Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown into his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Father, we thank you again for your word, and we pray that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, we pray that you would help us to take into our hearts and our lives the word of your kingdom, to be made new by it, to be transformed by it, to live our lives according to it. Holy Spirit, would you please move among us? Would you please direct our hearts and our lives toward Jesus, our King? We pray in his name. Amen. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this parable, the parable of the seed, the parable of the sower, the parable of the soil or the soils. And a couple of weeks ago, we put specific emphasis on the soil. We raised questions like what characterizes the different conditions of soil in the parable? How's the soil of our own lives? What makes for good soil and more? And then last week, we put specific emphasis on the sower, addressing a key question. How's the Lord using you and me in the soil of the souls of others? How is he using us? How does he want to use us? How might we be better used as sowers of the seeds of the gospel? And this week, as we wrap up this series, Extraordinary Fruit, we're going to be thinking more specifically about the seed. Yes, there's no way to think about the seed fully without also commenting again on its relationship to the soil and the sower's relationship to both the seed and the soil. But we're going to consider the seed a little bit more than we've done these last couple of weeks as we've camped out here in this parable. And so, as we've noted multiple times now these last couple of weeks, the fields are the world as it is before us. Your world and my world as it really is. Your home and my home. Your family and my family. Your job, my job. Your sports, my sports. I know some are excited. College football season started back up, although no real games that anybody cares about yet. But those things, that is the field of our lives. The people with whom we enjoy sports, the people with whom we go to sports, the people with whom we play sports, whatever that activity might be. I'm using sports here, of course, as a specific. But your hobbies and my hobbies, your political conventions and my political conventions, your clubs, my clubs, your gatherings, my gatherings, your school, my school. Whatever we find ourselves doing in life, that is the field in which the gospel is at work. The field of your life is where life happens for you. Notice that Jesus likens the seed in this parable to the word of the kingdom sown into the heart. What does he mean by the kingdom? Which kingdom? What's it like? Well, quite simply, the kingdom in the Gospels is the rule and reign of God among his people. It is not so much as a place as it is a people, and how God is moving in the hearts and lives of those people, how he is ruling and reigning. And so Jesus, in the prayer that he taught his disciples, we call it the Lord's Prayer. He teaches them to pray, and he teaches us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is done in heaven." Yes, the kingdom is something for which we wait that will be fully realized in the life to come. But it is also already and really here, truly, in our midst, within us, and among us as the people of God. Yes, it is experienced personally by each of us individually, but that is not to say that it is a private matter. The kingdom of God is not some private experience that we have that's unrelated to the world at large. That is a lie of secularism. You have your religion, you have your faith, it's a personally held conviction, and you can live your life accordingly as long as it doesn't mess up work, as long as it doesn't meddle into politics, as long as it doesn't get involved in your engagement of culture and entertainment. It is yours privately. That is a lie. In fact, the kingdom of God is a radically public matter. Jesus, the Christ, is King. That is a public proclamation. He is Lord over all heaven and earth. Even the Apostle Paul says things under the earth. Jesus Christ is Lord. That is a public and a political, necessarily, profession. And so, while we experience his rule and reign personally, we also experience it communally as the body. We are the people of God in whose heart and in whose midst the triune living God has taken up his residence and his rule and reign. God's rule and reign within us and among us creates within us and creates among us new values, values that are in contradiction to the values of the world. In fact, the kingdom of God, his rule and reign within us and among us, they create a whole new value system. We care for the fatherless and for the widow because he cares for the fatherless and for the widow. We raise up those crushed by life, the poor, the powerless, because that's the work of his hands. That's what he has throughout history called his people to do. We live graciously, generously, and gratefully, and even more, because he is the fountain of all that is good. The word of his kingdom is quite simply the announcement that Jesus is the Christ, and as the Christ, he is the King over all. And any announcement of his kingdom is also an invitation to him, the King. But how do we come to him? The scriptures tell us plainly, we come with repentance. We come repenting. That is, laying down the arms of our rebellion against him. Taking up then the mantle of his loving calls and following him in faithful trust. We go where he goes. And the Apostle Paul tells us we go as he goes. We live as Christ. The seed, the word of the kingdom, while it may look tiny, it is no small matter. It is as huge as life itself. It's as big as the world itself. The heart, Jesus tells us, is the soil in the parable. Some hearts are hard and trodden. They are like the path. The seed falls to the path and the birds of the air come along and pluck them up. The word of the kingdom doesn't even get down into the soil itself, really, before Satan snatches it right up. Some hearts are filled with rocks and other obstructions to depth. The seed falls to the ground and finds a potential home. It starts to germinate and springs up life, even quickly. New life is happening. It's exciting to experience, and it's even exciting to see. We see that little sprig pop up out of the dark dirt, and we think something new is happening. Finally, the work, the potential is being realized. However, because of the hard, unremoved, and obstructive rocks down in the soil, the newly living, newly sprouted plant doesn't even have much of a root system at all. It's got no real chance of survival when the heat comes. And oh boy, does the heat come. Persecution and pushback, troubles and trials, tribulation, Jesus says. They start to rain down on that poor little plant, and it gets burned up pretty quickly and falls away, dead, lifeless. What was once living now is no longer. Some hearts are clearly fertile, but there's competition in them. They also spring up thorns, which choke out the competing interests of the kingdom. The cares of this world, Jesus says, they come along. And for a while, that new life is able to take some root and find nourishment, allowing a bit of growth. But eventually, the threat of the thorns renders the sown seed of the kingdom unfruitful. It bears no fruit. Its life is being choked out. Its nourishment is being fought for. Beware what you allow to take root in your life, lest it become the undoing of the work of the kingdom of Christ in your life, because it is the word of the kingdom that is the seed, and it wants to produce life, much life. And yet there are some hearts that are primed and prepared for the seed. They're down in the good land, away from the path. Someone's cared enough to come along and break up the fallow ground, removing rocks and stones and whatnot. And the only care to be found in this soil is the desire to know and love the King and enjoy the reality of His kingdom. This ground is glad to receive and make room for the word of the kingdom in the soil of its life. It's primed for fruit. You might even say that, like the sower himself, it wants fruit. It desires fruit. Much fruit. Extraordinary fruit, in fact. But before moving forward, let's bear in mind the nature of parables. Jesus' parables are told so as to invite. His parables, stories, are a welcoming, just as any story is. The opening words of the story invite you to come along. The opening story of John's gospel invites you, come and see. And you hear it repeated over and over again. You read the words like, in a hole in the ground there once lived a hobbit. And suddenly a whole new world has opened up to you. Something you've been invited into, welcomed into. So again, Jesus' parables are told so as to invite. They are intended to entice. They are dynamic by nature. They are not static. Hence his invitation at the conclusion of this one in particular. He who has ears, let him hear. When you hear Jesus say, he who has ears, let him hear, the intended result is that you would say, wait a minute, what's that? How does this apply to me? How do I fit into this? What sort of soil is the condition of my heart? Wait a minute, what's the seed, that word of the kingdom? And how's it at work in my life? Wait a minute, am I the sower? How am I sharing the seeds of the gospel, the word of the kingdom, in the lives of others? How do me and my family and my friends, how do we fit into this? Again, invitational, dynamic. It's as if Jesus is saying, if you're picking up what I'm laying down, check yourself. See yourself in here. Enter into this story. Enter into, find yourself in this word picture. What's the condition of your heart and life? What's the soil of your soul like? If it's the path, and you're so inclined to not be the path, you'd better do something about that, and quickly. Time is of the essence. If your life is filled with obstructions, grab a pickaxe if you must, a shovel, something. Maybe even some hired help or a friend or two. Get to work. You've got business to be about. Removing those rocks. If it's filled with interests that stand in competition to the kingdom, grab some gloves and start pulling those weeds and get them out, roots and all. Leave nothing behind. Jesus does not tell this parable so as to pile on the fatalism of life. Well, I guess I'm just out. My life is not in a condition to receive the seed, the word of the kingdom. Well, once in my past, there was quickly sprung up new life, but that all is in the past now. No, he wants to provoke us. He wants to move us, to shake us. He wants to create desire in us. And so he pushes and prods. Aren't you grateful that Jesus is willing to push and prod you? That he is willing to provoke you, to challenge you, to move you? As we consider this parable, I want to share with you a few helpful reminders. Last week we were called to know the vision of the owner of the field, to know the field itself, to get to know it, to get out into the field that is the world as we experience it, to know our responsibilities as workers in the field. But as we consider the work before us, let's keep in mind just a few things, a few helpful reminders. And these are simple. These are obvious, but they bear repeating. The seed itself is hard. When's the last time you held a dry seed in your hand to plant in the soil? Not like a roasted seed, because those soften up. A roasted, like pumpkin seed, is a little different than a dried up pumpkin seed that's going to go in the ground. Lindsay makes wonderful roasted pumpkin seeds. Every year at Halloween, no seed goes to waste. We scoop them all out of the pumpkins. We get a bunch of pumpkins so that we got a bunch of seeds. And we don't dry them out and save them for the spring. We'll buy those. No, Lindsay cleans them and roasts them. And they're wonderful. But the seed itself is hard. The word of the kingdom is a hard matter. It's no small matter. It may be tiny, but it calls for everything. if Jesus is indeed Lord, if he is king over all creation, then the pronouncement of his kingdom, the announcement that he is king, and the call to repentance, to lay down our arms and to follow him, that is a huge and difficult issue. The seed itself is hard. As we've noted multiple times these last few weeks, and as we've noted again this morning, the ground is often hard. It may be hard because it's the path and it's been trodden on. It may be hard because it's filled with rocks and there's matter down in there that is as solid as stone. But not only is the seed hard, the ground is often hard. Not plowed up, not ready for the seed. And so in our work, let's not make the planting itself, the planting of the seed in the ground, unnecessarily hard. In other words, we don't have to be harsh when sharing the word of the kingdom. I'm not talking about a weak gospel. I'm not talking about a simple and easy believism. I'm not talking about trying to make the gospel palatable to others. I'm talking about being good people, godly people, whose lives have been changed by Christ, so much so that they're not just rid of sin, but they're also filled with the love of Christ. So that when we share the seeds of the gospel, the word of the kingdom, the pronouncement that Jesus is Lord, it comes across in love, not hatred, not harshness, not bitterness, not anger, not frustration, but self-giving love, like the love of our triune God. Yes, we proclaim that Jesus is the King. But let's not forget the nature of our King. He is a good King. He is a compassionate King. He is a King who gave his very life for the sake of the world. Yes, we announce the forgiveness of sins in the name of King Jesus. And we invite people to repent of their sins and follow him in faithful trust. Yes, we declare that he who is faithful to forgive sins is also faithful to deliver from all unrighteousness. He specializes in clean hearts, new spirits, renewed minds, and transformed lives. All of this is true. And all of this, in and of itself, is compelling. It is inviting. It is good news to a terribly sick and broken world. But none of this should be weaponized and used to bludgeon unbelievers. We do not gloat. We do not laugh. We do not mock those whose lives are broken and in need of a redeemer. And so because the seed itself is hard and the ground is often hard, we don't have to make the planting the seed in the ground unnecessarily hard. We can do so lovingly. We can do so compassionately. We can do so generously and graciously because our good God is generous and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. That's why it's important what we said last week about getting to know the field, getting involved in the lives of others. The gospel is best shared through relationships that we have been cultivating and we have been working on, that we have been praying about, that we have been intentional about, that we have been investing in for an extended period of time. Because as I believe I mentioned last week, it is in the context of those relationships that we are developing trust, that we are developing the right to be out into the field. We're not standing on the pathway lobbing seeds, trespassing on property that doesn't belong to us. We have gotten to know the field. We have gotten to know the soil. We've invested in it. But having said that, let's also keep in mind for whom we work. We work for the Lord of the harvest, not the field. We don't work for the world. We work for the sake of the world. We don't work for creation. We work for the sake of creation. We want to see new creation. But we work for the Lord of the harvest, the one who made the world, the Lord of all creation. We work for Him. We answer to Him. He is the one who has captivated our hearts. He is the one before whom we stand. He is the one for whom we labor. He wants to see much fruit. He wants to see extraordinary fruit. He wants to see some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He wants a bounty of harvest. And not only does working for Him mean we answer to Him, not the world, but it also means we answer to Him. We are accountable to Him, what we do with the seeds of the gospel He has entrusted to us. Father in heaven, we pray that You would enable us, as Jesus announced to His disciples, enable us to lift up our eyes and see that the harvest is ready, that the fields before us are already white unto harvest. Help us to hear with the prophet Isaiah Your call, Your question, Your invitation. Whom shall we send and who will go for us? And Lord, we pray that You would direct our hearts and our lives as You did the prophets in the Old Testament, as You did all of Your servants who are faithful in the Old Testament, and as You did through the lives of those apostles when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, to be emboldened with power to go to any who would listen, to go out into the fields of the world, to preach the gospel of Jesus, to direct the hearts of others toward King Jesus, to announce His kingdom among us, to live in the reality of His kingdom among us, to invite others lovingly, compassionately, to come and find shelter in the halls of the King, to find life springing up in the dried grounds of their souls. Lord, would You compel us to go? Would You send us out in the love and the power, in the joy and the peace and the compassion of Your Spirit? In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.